Come here. Get off.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Turn On. Today, we're going to read from Bad for the Boss by Talia Hibbert, which was published in 2017. Sit back, relax, get your wine, get your weed, get your whatever you need, and enjoy.
Bad for the Boss by Talia Hibbert. We need rules. She took a deep breath and his lips were so close to hers that she could almost taste him. Like, no sex at work, no allowing the personal to interfere with the professional. I get it, he murmured. You need guarantees, a safety net. I can give you that. Can you? She didn't mean to say the next words out of her mouth, didn't mean to, but was ultimately glad that she did. I believe that you'd throw me under the bus to save the company's reputation. He drew back as though she'd slapped him. What? No, Jenny. It's okay. I understand it. You spent years building Brown Cow, and you've known me for days. That's just how things work. Jennifer. He bent over, his voice low and insistent. I wouldn't do that. Not ever. I started this. I would never let you suffer because I want you. I leave women better off, not worse. It took her a moment to realize, but she believed him. She did. She also thought he'd missed the point entirely. But that didn't matter. She was the one getting attached. Theo hid nothing about who he was. He'd offer her the world, probably. Just not himself. But she could have a taste, couldn't she? She deserved that, didn't she? Yes. Thanks to her heels, she didn't have to rise up on her toes to kiss him. She simply tipped her head back and raised her lips to his until the breath between them became a whisper. His hand tightened around her waist as he brushed his lips over hers and traced the tender inside of her lip with his tongue. She whimpered and he groaned in response, pulling her closer, clutching at her hips and dragging her against his body. She was so drunk with desire she barely noticed as he gathered her skirt in his fists, dragging up the fabric to expose her bare legs to the cool air. But when his fingers skimmed along the edge of her thong, she gasped against his lips. "Let me touch you, Jenny," he whispered. "I need it. I need..." He broke off, his voice ragged, his hands desperate as they sent stars shooting up her nerve endings. "Yes," she gasped. "Please." With a moan, he kissed her again, hard and punishing. His fingers slid beneath the fabric of her underwear to stroke the melting heat of her pussy, parting her swollen folds. She shuddered around him as he eased his finger inside her, rubbing rhythmically against a spot so sensitive she felt almost delirious with pleasure. "That's it," he murmured as she whimpered in his arms. "You want more, princess?" "Please," she said again. He slid another finger into her dripping entrance, then curved his palm over her mound so that the heel of his hand nudged against her clit with each thrust. Jen clutched at his shoulders, her knees weakening while he worked her mercilessly. "There we go. Anyone could see you down there, you know, grinding all over my hand. You're such a good girl, Jenny, but you're bad for me, aren't you?" "Yes," she gasped mindlessly, her heart pounding as she writhed against him. "Yes, more, please." He pumped harder, faster, his forceful movements pushing her closer and closer to that perfect precipice. And then she was gone, falling, soaring. He pressed hot kisses against her neck as his pace slowed, stroking her gently and easing her down from the height of her ecstasy. "Oh, Christ," she said softly as reality filtered in. "Wait, aren't there cameras in here?" "Shh, I took care of that. Don't worry." Her panic faded. "Oh, thank God. Or me." With a devilish smile, he replaced her thong and let her skirt fall. Then, holding her gaze, he slipped his fingers into his mouth and suck them clean. Biting her lip, Jen looked down at the erection, clearly straining against his suit trousers. Do you want me to... It's okay. He smiled, but his eyes were still hot, grazing her skin like a caress. We'll do that another time. Do what? She stammered. He laughed. Aw, Jenny, you're so sweet. He pulled her into his arms, kissed her forehead, then her nose. Come on, you want some truffles? Jen paused, thinking about the collection of condoms currently sitting in her purse. Then she thought about one of Arya's many rules. Don't put in any effort for at least the first 5 orgasms. You know what? She asked, moving back toward the center of the capsule. I think I do.
Welcome back. We just heard an excerpt from Bad for the Boss, which was written by Talia Hibbert in 2017. This story is an excerpt from a larger book. The book Bad for the Boss is an Asian male Black woman romance. Jen is the main character. Theo is her lover. And Jen, the story starts with Jen in the beginning experiencing some trauma as a kid. And then it kind of fast forwards to her as a young adult working in a advertising firm in London. And she gets involved with her boss, Theo. So it's about their story. And as Cameron would say, hijinks and lots of sex ensues. So what are your thoughts about this story, Cameron? Overall, you like it?
I do. I you know, we wanted to do an interracial romance because it's a thing that if anyone who reads within the genre, you know, romance genre, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. But we did not want to do one with a white man.
Yeah. And the one of the great things about this story that I like is that she's a Black woman. Her lover is an Asian man, but it's not a thing.
Right.
Like, you just know he's an Asian guy. I think the first time you learn that he's an Asian guy is he's like pushing through a crowd and knocks someone over. Like, hey, that Asian guy kicked it over or something like, but it's not like a,
it's not a fetish.
Yeah, it's not like she walked into his home and smelled green tea and saw, you know, like
shoes lined up by the door.
Exactly. It's not that. It's just there are two people and there might be some descriptors and there's like a little what's the word for a little story?
A vignette.
Oh my gosh. Anecdote about him. You know, why he uses this name versus that name. But it's not like a thing.
Okay, so I'm going to start calling anecdotes little stories.
Thanks. Little stories, little baby stories, yes. Little stories.
Yes.
So we open this scene with her saying that they need a contract or they got to set rules because she's
in a
boss.
Yeah.
She's in a vulnerable position. Have you ever been in a situation where you've
like a power dynamic?
Well, not even a power dynamic, but where you said to this person, look, we can do this, but we have to have rules. And I think we all have rules in our head, but have you had
articulate
to articulate that with a partner?
Kind of. I mean, but it was definitely on some, we're going to be friends with benefits.
Yeah.
So it was like outlining what are the parameters of that? Where does the friendship end and the sex begin? How do we jump back into the friendship when we're done with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've had a situation that was kind of like that. And we had a TCOH policy, a take care of home policy.
What's that? Explain.
That's a policy where it was just, you know, home meaning our lives. And I mean, we weren't in, you know, that makes it seem like we were married and fucking around.
I'm like, huh?
No, it was just, you know, things could get messy if this becomes more than just the two of us fucking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure that we are
protecting
making this sexual relationship that where it's just sex and we ain't talking to each other's homeboys, homegirls, you know, like,
don't be messy.
Yeah. Like, let's just take care of everything outside of this.
Okay.
So
how'd that work out?
Yeah, and it worked out. I mean, I think we just kind of, you know what, I think he ended up dating someone, like getting serious about someone. And so in our take care home policy, like, all right, well, you go do your thing and
have fun.
Yeah. So, cool. I mean, actually, it was actually a good situation. Yeah.
Right.
It was a good situation. Also, one of the things that I liked, well, actually, I hated this. How he kept calling her Jenny. And she was like, no.
Nigga.
It's Jennifer.
Right.
And he was just insistent on being like, no, but you're my Jenny.
Yeah, yeah.
And
on one hand, it's like, oh, pet name. On the other hand, she's like, that's not my name.
But
That's not my name. That is how my daughter used to sing that song.
Oh, my gosh. But I had to laugh because I'm that type of person. Like, I will give you a name that no one else calls you because I need you to remember. Like, if you ever in a big ass room and you hear somebody say so-and-so, it is me.
Well, it's one of the ways that we build intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without even consciously realizing that that's what we're doing when we give each other nicknames. And I think that that's what he's trying to do with her, to take it out of the realm of you are my employee. And then that space, you are Jennifer. And in this space where we are fucking or not fucking and you are Jenny.
And also, yeah, because it's one of those, like, I have a... My current partner, he hates it when I call him baby, because he's like, I'm not a grown ass man. I'm not your baby.
Right.
Your son's your baby. So and so can be your baby. I'm not your baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh,
you know, it make you feel away
in my pants.
Why does? Oh, okay.
No. The first time he said it, he was like, nah. Like, say that baby shit for somebody else, and it kind of turned me on because I was like, ooh,
okay.
I like it. Do you have a nickname for your partner? You don't have to share it.
No, I'm not.
But
kinda yes, but it's like a joke. Yeah. So yeah, and he a little bit hates it, but thinks it's funny. So yeah.
Yeah, I have a coworker who I'm gonna tell my story, but I have a coworker who has a husband, and she calls him. So say his name is like James. She calls him Derek. Like, it's a whole different name. Like, and she calls him that so much so, she said it, she was like, at our bridal shower, you know, they asked, like, do you know the groom's full name? And they were like, yeah, James Derek Jones. And they were like, no, nothing to do with Derek. It's like, why the fuck she call him Derek? He's like, I don't know.
That's
so funny. I find that so funny. But yeah, I have a special name for my partner, and it usually, I mean, I use it often, but like, it gets like syrupy and sappy when I'm like asking for some shit or about to get some dick. So yeah, I actually like it. I mean, I'm queen of nicknames. I give everybody a nickname. I give everyone a nickname, but I also like respect that people don't quite. I'm like, so
yeah
it's okay if I call you little doodle bop.
Well, good.
And but then they, you know,
how do you feel when people give you nicknames? Like, does your partner have something that he calls you?
Yes.
Okay. And how?
I love it. Okay. Like, it makes me sweet,
right? Because anyway. it you know, you felt a little bit rubbed the wrong way when he called her Jenny in the book. So I'm like,
well, I felt rubbed the wrong way when she was like, no. And he was just like, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's just like,
nigga, respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, boundaries. Mean, if she keeps it going, then, you know.
Yeah.
If y'all like it, I love it.
Her decision to make.
Mm-hmm. So, to the nasty part.
It's always the nasty part.
To the nasty part. I love that they don't. There's no, like, penetration. Well, there's no dick and puss sex. DMP,
right, because he does penetrate with his fingers.
Yeah, and so this, when I read this, this reminded me of, I was listening to Dan Savage's Savage Love podcast, and he was like, answering a question from a listener or something. And someone asked, how do you feel about, it was something about, like, foreplay or sex or something like that. And she was saying, he was telling this woman that men and women should, well, heterosexual couples should embrace sex more like gay couples. Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. I don't have any experience or, you know, any other knowledge other than his anecdote. But he was saying that, you know, heterosexual couple, gay couples, like, sex is not just, you know, sex. It's, you know, mutual masturbation or just a bunch of oral sex. And he said, you know, I think men would be less hesitant to have sex all the time if sex, every time they had sex, resulted in them getting
somebody
fucked.
Having to put something like, in them every time. Yeah.
And so I really like that this is a good sexual experience for the both of them, but it doesn't involve D&P.
Yeah.
Dick and puss.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, yes, one, like thinking about the fact that in some situations there is no dick to be found and not everyone is interested in introducing an artificial one in order to get off. And also for folks who have disabilities that don't allow them to be able to have penetrative sex, well, shit, they have ways that they get off too.
Yeah.
And we can't always be focused on that. I in my experience, I have found that men tend to be more focused on the penetrative aspect of it. Like, to me, it is all sex. Like, I actually don't tend to use the phrasing of foreplay, because to me, it is, it's oral sex, it's titty sex, it's... You know what I mean? Like, all of it is sex to me.
Yeah.
Even if it's a 15-minute session of you just laying here lazily rubbing my clit. Like, to me, that is, we are still engaged in an intimate sexual act. And it doesn't even have to result in somebody coming necessarily.
Yeah.
It is just us enjoying each other in that way. And to me, that is sex. It does not have to culminate in somebody getting penetrated.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we can we just like have like just a 15-second praise break for dry humping.
Yeah.
Like we, it was like
in high school, it was everything.
Yeah. It was like we completely, as soon as we like started like doing D&P,
we just forgot we about just the thing that first got
totally
us off.
Forgot about our good friend dry humping that got us through many a situations. Like, this used to be your homeboy. Now you just
toss that nigga to the
damn
side.
Damn, homie. In high school, you was the man, homie. You know? Y'all just,
we
y'all
shady.
Just totally left your homeboy dry humping alone in the dust.
But it can be really great, especially in public places.
Oh, girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Me, I'm trying to figure out. What do I do now? It's kind of like you do all that and you be like, you nasty.
Yeah. And then you got something to think about for later.
Who raised you to be that?
A little grind.
Yeah.
Inconspicuously.
Listen. But I, you know, and I, again, I just going back to it all, I think that, you know, there's so much to be said for everything else other than just, you know, because... let's be real, we've been running stats on our Twitter and on our social media accounts about how not every woman comes vaginally,
especially when they're having sex with men.
Especially when they have sex with
women
men.
Who have sex with women and non-binary folks and folks who don't have penises tend to come much more often
because
they are not reliant on a penis.
Exactly. And so we forget that there's so much more fun in just, you know, doing
enjoying your body. Yeah. And in ways that don't always involve the inside.
We don't have to take our clothes off.
Exactly.
To have a good time. Hey. Didn't one of our friends enjoy this song? I think about this song. I hear this song and I think about our friend somebody. That we were group texting this morning.
Yes.
Did she have a story about this song? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I hear that song and I can't remember the story, but I feel like there's always a random story associated with her.
She does.
Nonetheless, I think that
we
just need hey girl. I just think we just need to remember that it's so much more than just because even and now that I think about the stories that we're reading, there's so much more about it about, you know, just leading up to dick and puss than it is actual, because there's only so much. I mean, a good dick and a puss is one thing, but I think that there's
more to it than that.
And there's so, because also your entire body responds to sensual touch,
yes,
more than just your vaginal canal,
right?
And let's be honest, a whole lot of men can't find your G-spot. And that's really where you're going for when you, you know, when we're doing dick and
a lot of them are not even thinking about the fact that that's a thing.
Exactly.
Let alone how they need to position themselves to hit it.
So I, for one, when I run for president, the first thing I when I become president, the first thing that I'm going to do is mandate more dry humping and fingering.
Yes, sure. Fingering has become something that I have enjoyed more as an older person, I think, because I know what they should be reaching for, and so do they.
Yeah.
I hated it.
As a kid? Well, not, well. Oh, well, let me not say that. Oh,
please, no. I hated it as a you know,
newbie in this sex game.
Yes. It just felt like, what, you don't know what you're doing. This friction doesn't feel good. That's not where I want it. Ah, that angle is bad. You're up against my pubic bone. Hey, how about you take your hands out of there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started watching Euphoria last night.
It's so good.
I couldn't even get through the whole fucking episode.
It took me 2 tries to get
it's
through the first
really
episode.
It's really tough, especially as a parent watching it. And one of the things that I realized watching this, like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Don't nobody know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to their bodies or how sex works. Or remember the scene with the guy, with the kid, and he was, like, having sex with the girl, and he, like, grabbed her by the throat.
Yes.
And it was just like, well, that's what they do in the porn.
And she was like, why would you think I would like that?
Exactly. And it's just like, man, like, we just out here just
doing what we
just
think,
learning
we
shit bad.
From, yeah.
And that, and
but how do you learn it well? Like, you know, porn is, well, I guess maybe you look for porn that's not shot by men.
What 17-year-old is looking for ethical porn? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one. Like, how, I mean,
it was,
I feel
definitely
like
trial and error for me.
That's what I was about to say. That is
trial
how
trial and error,
to
and then getting
things.
To a point where I was open enough to ask and seek questions.
Well,
seek
and to
answers.
Also not accept bullshit. I think that's the other side of that coin. To be like, you know, I don't like that shit. Stop doing that shit.
Yeah. But I mean, shit, I'm damn near 40 and just now got to that point. Hmm. You know, just now got to that point. But yeah, it was just, oh, it just reminded me, like, it was hard to watch as a parent, but also just thinking back of when I was younger. I mean, I don't think I was that young doing that stuff. Maybe I was. Yeah, I was. But anyway, you know, just thinking back, you're just so unsure and unknowing and just, I always say, you don't even know what you don't know. You know, you don't even know what you don't even know. And that's what it is with, like, sex. These kids are like, oh, my God, y'all are trash. This is horrible.
But unfortunately, I think, you know, that's not just the thing with kids. I definitely made trash-ass decisions and, you know, in my 20s and
shit, even in my 30s.
I mean, yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, in my 30s, where it was situations that I should not have been in with people who I should have walked away from right away. Luckily, it only took me one time to know that the fire was hot and walk away. But absolutely, it's a journey.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that this kind of goes back to the conversation we had in another episode. We were talking about, you know, just kind of trying to be parents. I mean, like, I don't need my kid coming to me asking me about the intricate details of sex. But at the same time,
well,
I kind of rather you do ask me than ask some kid or, God forbid, Pornhub. I mean, yes, Pornhub is a friend. You might find it in my favorites. However, that's not where I need you to go learning things. Right. So,
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, yeah. I want to go back a little bit to something what we were talking about earlier about, you know, the idea of sex not just being penetrative, and how, you know, you were saying that even with these books, sometimes that we, you know, the excerpts that we've been reading, there's a lot that comes before that. And I think that's important for us to note. Like, I think that when folks hear erotica, there is one thing that they think of, right? And I want us to, like, make sure that we're bringing, like, the full
compliment.
Yeah, like, it's the tease that comes before it.
The tease is the best part.
Yeah. Yeah. The conversations that you have, the shit that you talk on text, the things that you don't say, but that you're thinking, that you're planning for next time. Like,
yeah.
the touch that is not sexual, but is intimate and puts you in concert with each other before you get to that point. All of that is erotica. And, you know, as we're going through the course of this show, we'll be highlighting those parts too. It won't always be that somebody is necessarily having some type of quote unquote sex, because the erotic is larger than that.
So much larger. Yeah. Sex and.
Exactly. Always.
Speaking of intimacy, at the end, after she comes, he puts her panties back on her and licks his finger. He looks her dead in the eye and licks his fingers clean.
My God.
I was like, oh, he set me shit up for later.
Yeah. When I was reading it, I had to take a little breath. I was like, oh, okay.
He talking shit.
Yes, without saying a word.
Oh.
Again, the erotic.
That erotic. Oh, it was so great.
Yeah.
Also, I learned a new rule in here that was just fantastic.
What?
Don't put in any effort for the first 5 orgasms.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that. What do you think? Why do you think it's fantastic, though? I'm sorry, not me. Not
I think it's fantastic because I think that women tend to want to. It's first, let's remember, she's like 26, right?
Okay. And he's in his 40s?
He's 40. Yeah. And so he was, you know, it kind of takes me back to that article that we shared earlier this week where it was like, why high-performing women
end up with toxic men.
Yeah. Because we're so used to working for everything that if we have to work for what should be easy,
it feels like
we're like, it's going to pay off. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm working for this man's love, then I'm earning something great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to, like, I shouldn't have to, like, lay there and fucking play with myself in order to come with you. And this is our first time. Yeah, like,
I dig that.
You still should be pulling all the stops. I don't take it as like I need to be a lazy lover at all.
Yeah, because the idea of just being a dead fish is like,
I think it's a...
Because I'm not enjoying that. I want to be an active participant because that's what helps get me off.
Yeah, I think it's a... We should be, you know, like, again, it should be a dance.
Yeah, but no extraordinary measures.
Yeah, like, it shouldn't be you finish and then I'm laying there like, oh, no, what's going on? No. You know, like, it shouldn't have to... Yeah. Then we're not doing this again. Work. It should be... We're enjoying ourselves, and then next thing you know, orgasm man taps me on the ghost of a good orgasm taps me on the shoulder, inhabits my body, and I start shaking like a goat.
Do goat shake?
No, they like their legs lock and they fall out. That is what happens at times. Yeah, and so I think I really like that idea. No, I don't think you should be just a stale lover, because if you ain't working, we ain't getting to 5, right? You know, but I also don't think that this needs to be a chore or something that you have to work at. You know, it should just, we should be enjoying ourselves and orgasm comes.
Because paying attention to each other's rhythms and asking questions and following up and doing what they've just asked you, you know, whether it's just that they guided your hand to a certain place or, you know, whatever, that's not work. That's part of the dance.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So I just,
okay.
It was like, I'm like, who grandma told her that?
Yeah. I like this.
I definitely do.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Oh.
Have you ever experienced where somebody just like early on where they just came and were like, oh, time to go?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We didn't make it past. I mean, I think I might have stuck around for one or two thinking that I needed to work.
Try. Yeah.
He had so much fun. I gotta be having fun next time. Mm-hmm. But no. Yeah, I have. And it just feels you leave. I mean, like, I don't like the idea of, like, I don't like the concept of, like, as a woman having sex, you're giving a piece of yourself to a man. Like, no, I'm having sex and enjoying it. Face. But I do feel like having sex with someone that just kind of worries about them and not you definitely left me feeling empty. Yeah. Like, ooh, what was that?
Like, you was just a hole.
Yeah, like, you are using me as an orifice to masturbate in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the empty feeling that comes from sex. It's like, you could have did this with anything.
You could have just did this with your fucking hand.
A good fleshlight, you know? But yeah, so I I have and was not, you know, like, and again, it's good for young girls to know this because I was more willing to go for that shit than I am now.
Yeah.
What about you?
Typically does not. If he starts out that way in the time when he should be pulling out all the
exactly
stops,
like
that ain't getting better.
If this shit ain't gravy good in the beginning, what the fuck is it gonna be like when y'all both come home after working a 10-hour day, tired as hell, barely want to talk?
And that's not to say you should. It has to be like the mind blowing the first time because you're still trying to learn each other's bodies. But I need to see some effort.
Yeah, I need to see feel like we at least
trying
work and learn each other's rhythm.
Exactly.
What about you?
I don't think I have. But I have kind of. I've once put myself in that position a little bit where. I was having literally the most awkward sex I have ever had with someone. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that he wasn't trying to, like, he didn't care about how I felt in the situation, but he just did not know what to do. And he was an awkward person to begin with. Like, we had these awkward ass conversations, but he was fine as fuck.
I was about to say, how the fuck did y'all get to there? He was just awkward.
He was gorgeous. His thighs. He was gorgeous.
Something about a good man. Ooh, thigh.
Lord.
Yes. That's why we love. What's that man's name?
I don't know.
M'Baku.
Oof.
What's the man's name?
Oh, I don't know. Now I'm just seeing thighs in here. We will not have it. Oh.
Anyway, we love a good thigh. A good,
yes,
meaty, yes, girthy thighs.
And it was the thighs that got me. And then and the conversation was okay, but he was kind of awkward, but he was super smart. And I was like, let's just try it out, see how it goes. And it was just as awkward as
because it could go, you know, things could, you
sometimes
never know.
He know how to talk with his body because he don't know how to talk with his mouth.
And that's fine.
You know, and he wasn't stupid. He was actually quite smart. He just,
awkward.
Yes. And so the sex was awkward. And it literally got to the point. So, you know, the carrier of today would have been like, this isn't going to work. You should get up. The carrier of then, after a while, was just like, I literally said, you should just finish. And so he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to come. You should just finish. And so he finished. And then that was that.
Wow. Yes. Wow. I'm so mad at that.
Yeah. And, you know, that situation went, you know, then he didn't want to leave my house because he thought it was good.
Oh, yeah. No. I remember the situation.
I really should have told him to stop and leave in hindsight.
Oh, my God. I totally remember this. Oh, yes. That's funny.
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay. Well,
Nice guy, though.
Yeah. So in the story, the protagonist is 26. Mm-hmm. Jennifer is 26. Mm-hmm. And Theo is 40.
Yeah.
You know I love older men.
I know.
What like, about you? Have you ever been in a...
Steez.
Did you say I date crusties?
I did not. I said this is your steez.
I just said you date crusties.
Oh my God. That's not nice. No.
I mean, shit.
No, I wouldn't say that you don't date crusty men. That's not... That wouldn't even be accurate.
It's not. But. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you like an old dick. I like a my age or younger dick. I have been with men who were older than me. No more than... So my thing is always, if you're closer to my daddy age than to my age, then ugh, gross.
Yeah.
get away from me. It's gross to me. Sorry, y'all. It's just I'm not turned on by that. I think the most of an interval that I've ever done is maybe 6 years. Is that right? I'm like thinking back to my Bumble days when I had my range set. I think that the oldest I did was like 45, and I think I was 36 when I got on Bumble, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't go any younger than 34.
So for Bumble, I set my range lower than my normal range, only because
you were just looking for.
I like an older man, period. Yeah. But I also feel a certain kind of way about the men of the age that I like being on Bumble. Get your old ass off of Bumble. I will date a man. Like, 6 years for me is like he's my age. Like, he's my age.
I prefer my own age.
It's like
10 honestly.
To 15 years older.
Okay.
I have no problem with a man 15 years older than me. However, if you're 15 years older than me, you're what, 55-ish?
Younger than that.
You're knocking on 55. If you're 55, I don't need you. There are probably some really nice 55-year-olds on Tumblr. I haven't run into
Tumblr?
Them. On the tumbleweeds. No, there's probably some great 55-year-olds on Bumble.
Mm-hmm.
But Our Time. Maybe I need an account on Our Time.
What's that?
Is that senior Bumble?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Christian Mingle. That's how T.S. Madison says it. But I enjoy an older man.
Why?
I like gray hair. I like I like to feel like a young tenderoni.
Okay. That's
But however, when I was doing the Bumble thing, it was my first time dating guys seriously dating guys that were my age. And I actually realized, this is pretty cool. I know. I'm like, this is pretty cool. We talk about, you catch my reference when I talk about whatever. Now, I find this absolutely hilarious now because the guy that I'm dating now, he is my age, but we grew up so differently that even...
You still don't get him.
He'd be like, So, that completely, but we're still on two different planets.
I think that's part of why I like the same age, too. Like, I like that if you hear Cash Money taking over for the 99 and 2000, you too feel like you need to get to the dance floor.
Yeah, and for me, it's like my guys typically know, this is Erica's shit. Let me get out the way. Let me move my walker out the way. No. But, So, I have realized that there is some fun to be had in someone that kind of catches on. Because I am queen of, random obscure references in a conversation.
That's true.
And
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. but it was, so I'm like, maybe this is a good, a good situation.
Yeah. So,
but also, I like a man to take care of me.
Right.
Like, I want you to be generally established and take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that older men tend to get that. But I will say that the older we get, the older men get it.
Yeah, we've gotten up.
We've
gotten to the age where they get it.
Where they get it, and it's not like some, damn, you want cheese too? Yeah.
Exactly. See, I like same age, and I hadn't been with a lot of men who were younger, but I like young dick. Not young, just a few years younger. what, you know, is starting to happen in this 38 range is that we know some men that's having some issues.
Well, see, so here's the thing. I like to fuck. I like having sex. I don't have to have lots of sex. When I do, it is, we're going to have to clean these walls.
Right. But so you like it that it's not, because like I'm in a...
You're in the let's I'm have a, it three times a day
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, in a 20-minute refractory period, let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, and I'm in a... But we did it yesterday morning. It's like that. What do you want out of me? Was it Boosie? What do you want out of me? That's me. And so I also, yeah.
Yeah.
And it also...
So a little bit older works well for that.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, we have good, good, fun, hot sex. It's yeah. just more... quality than quantity. I mean, I not like to say that you don't do quality, but
no, I like a penetrative one point of the day and like a non-penetrative situation at another point of the day. So I get two and I get the full complement of the situation.
Yeah, I like a nigga that be complaining about it right after. They're like, whoa.
Man, you feel like you did something.
Exactly.
Ooh, that nigga said his heart hurt.
Yeah, like, and you know my knee's going bad and shit, so I need to do like a half a drop and make that nigga feel like I am making the stallion. Like, whoa, you see that bitch? She bent down and picked up that penny.
No, I definitely, we definitely have lots of your knee's okay? Do we need to? Bitch is falling apart. It's fine. But it's all me. He like, let's get it, and I'm like, hold on, I need to. Move my knees.
Oh my god, yeah. No, yeah, that's definitely my kind of sex. Like I said, when we do it, it's trifling, but it takes a minute for us to, you know.
Yeah.
It takes a minute for us to recover.
But and that's it, good. It means that y'all are in the same space in terms of how much you want, which is key. I mean, it's also a good conversation. Like, we had a conversation early on, and we actually continue to have it to make sure we're still on the same page. Like, how often is optimal for you to have sex? I think it's actually a really important conversation, because a lot of folks and a lot of marriages fail from people who come in and don't realize that they got completely different clocks in terms of how often they think is often enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that conversation and are not honest about what it is that you need, y'all, somebody is always going to be feeling like they're not getting what they need. Yeah. And, you know, what they say, sex and money are the two major sex things that people, you yep. know, get divorced over.
Yep.
You're setting yourself up if you don't have an honest conversation about what you want and how often you want it.
Well, I think just generally going into, I was talking to a friend going into marriage. We go into this, I love you, you love me, we're just going to we'll love make each it other. Work.
Love is enough. It's all we need.
Yeah, yeah, no. Nah, dog. You can't you can't love yourself. You can't love each other through, you can't love yourself through red flags.
Right.
So, yeah. All righty. Well, with that said, that wraps up this episode of The Turn On. These are your lovely hosts, Erica and Kayla Canria, two hoes making it clap.
This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme song's from Brazy. We want to hear from y'all. Send your book recommendations and all your burning sex and related questions that you want us to answer at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com. And please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast, and find links to books, transcripts, guest info, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com. Bye!